Well, we pretty much know the Christmas story, don't we? We've gone over it year after year after year, how the angel came to Mary and made the announcement. And Mary said, I don't know a man. I've never known a man. But then she finally said, okay, be it unto me, as you've said. Of course, the Bible says the Holy Ghost overshadowed her, and she was found with child. That means she was impregnated in today's term. And she carried the child full term, and she brought forth a son and called him Jesus. Jesus, Savior, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace was he. There's so many titles. His name is Jesus, but he has a lot of titles. And so when you pray, you don't say, I pray in the name of the Prince of Peace, I pray in the name of Jesus, even though if you say, I pray in the name of the Prince of Peace in Jesus' name, because the power is in the name of Jesus. When the king was sending an ambassage to another country, he would send them in his name. And though the king wasn't there, that the messenger came in the power of the king. And once he spoke the name of the king, it was like all of the power of the king and his throne was backing up that messenger. And when the folks heard it, they said, okay, according to the wish of the king, so shall it be. And so Jesus came, and now he sent us in his name. And we have authority in the name of Jesus. Thank God he came. Thank God he lived. Thank God he died. And thank God he lives. And he lives forevermore. He resurrected. Yeah, that was in he lives. That was the second he lives, but it was a different live. Thank God he's coming back. That's right. Hallelujah. He's coming looking. Oh, boy. I ain't going to talk about that. Not today, but my. If I talk about that, I have to go home and go to bed for the rest of the evening. Big time. We're not going to break our concentration on the book of Hebrews. We're going to continue on. We're still talking about Jesus. It's the funniest thing. Some of the most powerful things you want to read, you find in the Old Testament. Yet that was the shadow. That was just the shadow of what we have today. My goodness. We are victorious and don't even know it, some of us. We can walk in victory and some of us don't. That was something worried me last night, big time. And before I went to bed, I said, Lord, please help me deal with this. I woke up this morning. It's gone. The worry's gone. It's not that the situation changed. The situation is the situation, but the worry is the thing that almost killed you. Amen? And so I remember that scripture that says, be careful for nothing, but in all things by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made unto God, and that he will settle your heart. And so thank God for that. It's not just a scripture. It's actual. And so by me asking him to help me settle that, it was settled when I woke up. And I also had a solution. Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all, the word of God is just that. It is the word of God. And if you have the Spirit of God in you, then the word of God works not only in you, but it also works through you. Nothing that you say is without power when it's spoken in the name of Jesus. You could speak to the drunk on the street, and he could barely hold his head up. And he say, I know God, I know Jesus. I was a deacon one time in the church, but I'm here. I'm not in there no more. And you go to talking to him, and he'll kind of straighten up, and he'll hear you. Young man, you know what you're talking about. You know what you're talking about. And it'll bring about a change in that man's life. It'll lift him. So use what God has given you in your everyday encounters. Don't wait for a big crusade to be named after you. Don't wait for them to call on you to come and lead the prayer or to start off the service or anything like that. And as soon as you walk out that door, you let the Lord use you. You let him use you. Amen? Amen. Well, there's no extra charge for that. As the man say, It's the same for the same $95 you already paid for the seat. It's covered in the... It's in the warmth. Well, Father, we thank you today for you. We thank you, Lord, that you agreed to come and that you did. We thank you, Lord, even that when you were struggling in the Garden of Gethsemane, praying that the cup would pass, we know that you were dying to self so that the will of the Father would be done. We know, Lord, that that is a struggle that we all face when God's will is called upon in our lives. So let us know that even your struggle is a sample for us, an example for us of how spiritual things work in the kingdom of God. Our enemy, the flesh, still fights, and he wants his own life. But Lord, we must give our lives for you. And so we say happy birthday, even though many say, well, he was born in March, he was born in December. One thing for sure, you were born. And Father, happy birthday for December, and happy birthday for March, and happy birthday for whatever day you were born. We're so glad that you came. Oh, what a difference you've made in our lives, Lord. What a change you brought about in us. We'll never, ever be the same again. No matter where we go and what we do, you have powerfully impacted us, and we're so glad for that. So, Lord, as we enter into our study today, I pray that you'll be with us and help me to deliver this message according as you have given it to me. Help me, Lord, not to get in the way, as I'm so well known to do, but help me, Lord, to be out of your way and out of the way of those that hear. But I pray also that you would help those that hear to also get out of the way, so we all can hear and receive and benefit from what thus saith the Lord unto our hearts this day. And it's in the wonderful, mighty, glorious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Hebrews 11. We're just going to do a few Hebrew scriptures. We've got some Genesis to walk through. Very interesting accounts. I've been trying to get this thing. Hebrews 11:17. Glad to see Alexis. Hey, brother, that's your new baby. Hi, new baby. What's the baby's name? Oh, good. I won't be able to say that, but okay. Welcome. Welcome, young man. I hope he comes back often. Let us put the word of God in him so that it's a struggle. I was just praying about that struggle. It is a very powerful struggle. You have to keep fighting. You have to keep fighting, brother. And one day you're going to get that complete breakthrough, the one that you're fighting for. You're going to get your breakthrough. Amen? You're going to get your breakthrough. If it's the will of God for you, nothing can stop the will of God for your life, and especially for that young baby. You know he needs Jesus, because that thing out there, that world out there, it'll just chew him up and give you something else. You won't even know your son at age 13 or 14. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a battle. It's a battle for all of us. Hebrews 11, verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. You know, Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith comes by, it says that that faith is the substance of things hoped for, It is the evidence of things not seen. For by it, that means by faith, the elders obtained a good report. That might be even better said that now faith is the confidence of expected things. It is the proof or the conviction of that which is unseen, our faith. By faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. Romans 10:17 tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So now we're going to go to Genesis after we have here established the groundwork of faith. We're going to look at Genesis 12:1 through 4. And I want to just let you know that before Abraham did anything, God spoke to him. Genesis 12. I feel a little fired up this morning, y'all. My voice seems stronger. I don't know what's going on here. I'm so glad that God's strength is made perfect in weakness. He's going to be super powerful in me because, man, I have some weaknesses like you won't believe. Genesis 12. Genesis chapter 12. Just going to go back a little bit there just so we can kind of establish here. Verse 1. Now the Lord said unto Abraham. Who said unto Abraham? The Lord said. The Lord spoke to Abraham. So there was a conversation going on there, pretty much. It was more of a, you know, just one way there, mostly. He said, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. You want to be a blessing? God is going to cause you to be sanctified in order to be that blessing. Sanctified is set apart. It's not a special way you dress. It's set apart. Being sanctified might affect some of the things you wear. It may change some of the things that you wear, but that's not sanctification. Sanctification is set apart. He told him, get away from your family and get out of your own country. I'm going to show you where I want you to go. And if you do that, I'm going to bless not only you, but I'm going to bless all of the nations of the earth. All of the families. That means, through Abraham, God's plan was to bless everybody. Verse 3, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. I don't see where Abram said anything. So which way, Lord? Left, right? When should I leave? What should I take? He didn't say nothing. And the Bible says that Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. He didn't say anything about taking Lot. He didn't say anything, listen, he didn't say anything to Lot. Not one word did he say to Lot, but Lot went with Abraham. And my main point here is to remember that faith comes from God. It comes from God. Abraham would not have left Haran, his homeland, if God had not spoken unto him and imparted the faith that he needed in order to go. When God speaks, he imparts the faith. When he speaks, he imparts the faith. Now, we got his word. We got his word. But now he speaks. He speaks through his word. And then the Spirit of God in you then brings the word alive in you. I said, since we are distracted. He speaks to us through his word. And then the living Spirit of God in you brings the Word alive in you. Okay, I got to tell y'all to say amen. Well, go ahead and say amen.
Amen.
I'm thinking that this is how this works. Because God speaks and He gives instructions, He was speaking directly to Abraham. The Bible says Abraham got up and started on his way. And if you look in Hebrews 11, and I looked through it trying to find, I didn't see anything in Hebrews 11 about Lot. I did not see anything said about Lot's faith. I didn't see anything said about how Lot sacrificed this and how Lot sacrificed that. I didn't see any of that in there about Lot. Lot is not recorded in there. It's talking about what he did and where he went and the land he took and the place he lived and how he tried to save the angels that came into Sodom and Gomorrah. But there's nothing recorded about Lot's faith. Yet we find Lot in Abraham's story. And now who is your Lot? What is your lot? We need to know who your lot is. You know, Abraham had his hands full with Lot. The herdsman of Lot was fighting with the herdsman of Abraham. They were causing disturbance there. They had to settle that and separate. So that separation came a little later. But he said, you choose the land, and Lot went off somewhere else. And Abraham said, whichever you go, I will go in the opposite direction. That's faith. So he put space between him and Lot. Then Lot winds up getting kidnapped by the kings. Abraham still had to go and free Lot. Called it the slaughter of the kings. He had to go and free Lot and all of his family. So Lot was trouble, y'all. And so now I will describe give you a description of your lot. He ain't nothing but trouble, y'all. Your lot ain't nothing but trouble now. All right, there you go. Hey, I ain't going to put no names. I can't put no names. Y'all have to put the names on, but, you know, your lot, always something happening. He always got trouble. He always breaking in what God is trying to get done through you. Your lot is trouble. Amen. Hallelujah. Abraham wouldn't have left if he didn't have that faith that God gave him. Man cannot find faith within himself to believe God. You cannot work it up. I've been told in the past that you got to have the God kind of faith. And I was sent to certain scriptures and said, this is the God kind of faith. And so I went and they said, now this is how you work the God kind of faith, when it was really the man kind of faith. It was the natural man kind of faith that was being worked. It was belief, okay, it was belief, but it wasn't spiritual faith. It wasn't faith that God gave. It was faith that men pointed out. And for that reason, that faith didn't work. It did not work. I believed it with all my heart. I tried it with all my strength. And still, it fell short. When my son was covered and racked with pain in his stomach as a little boy, and I took that God so-called kind of faith and I applied it to my son, and the last thing he said to me was, Daddy, why won't God heal me? Well, I know now that it's because it wasn't God's faith. It wasn't the faith that God gave. The faith that I needed was how to get to the hospital with my son. To the emergency room. A little tight, little small boy having stomach pain, and we don't know what it is. But I'm going to use a faith that I've been taught by some people that really did not know what they were talking about. Now, sometimes folks will say, and I know you seem to get rich quick and get money and that type of stuff. And folks say, look, this is the check that I got. And they got a $12,000 check. And they say, this is how I did it. Now you do it. What they don't tell you is that they started out with a $7,000 investment. And you come there with $50. You say, I'm going to do just like you did. Yeah. And it doesn't work. But they call it faith. Y'all, come on now. They're holding back on you. They're not giving you the whole story. But what they're doing is they're building up their business, because they're going to get your $50. And any dollar that anyone else give to you, they're going to get a big piece of it. You know. But when God gives you faith, it's the Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please Him.
And so God gives us faith to please him, not to please me, to please him, so he might be glorified. That's what it is. Hebrews 11:17 says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he had received the promise. He that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom, that means of Isaac, it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. He didn't say, from Ishmael shall thy seed be called. He didn't call Ishmael's name. He said Isaac. Now let's take a look here in Genesis 21 at this particular account and its exchange in Genesis 21:9. Some folks go to church and they like to hear a lot of hooping and hollering and jumping and running, but they don't get anything but just emotionally charged. And okay, if that's what you need, okay. But we are going to teach you the word here. We're going to hit this word and keep hitting it. And so, cause listen, we have a victory in him. And as we hear the word of God, our faith increases. And the word of God is truth. Jesus says, your word is truth. So, in other words, as you hear the truth, your faith increases. You know, it's kind of like a car. You say, well, how do I do it? Well, you turn the key. You hold it till you hear the motor. And then when you hear the motor, then you put your foot on the brake and you put it in drive. And then you start out and you start driving and look where you're going. Because all that comes with driving. Well, you go on and you do that and it works. They told you the truth. But if they said, get behind the car and put it in neutral and push, and push and push, and then once it goes, start down the hill, go jump in and try to turn the key. That's not how it's supposed to go. Listen, what the Word of God is telling us, really, is telling us how things really are. And it's radical, and it shouldn't be, but it is radical. When you believe God's Word, you are a radical. And the Word that instructs us, it's a radical word according to worldly standards. But it's telling us how things really are. How things really work. Like I say, I prayed about something and God delivered me overnight. Because the scripture says that I should, by prayer and supplication, make my request known to him. So I take that and say, Lord, help me. And I was still bothered when I went. But thank God for his word. And thank God that his word is truth. And he says, this is how you're made, and this is how it works. Genesis 21, starting in verse 9. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar. Okay, we're going way back. Sarah gave Abraham her handmaiden, which nobody said anything about handmaiden. Now you got Lot. Now you got Sarah gives her handmaiden to Abraham. Nobody said anything about your handmaiden. See, but she gave him, but well, there was no law then. But okay, so anyway. So Hagar brings forth his son, Ishmael. Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian. What was he doing that was born to Abraham? And the son was mocking. He was mocking Isaac. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. Boy, Sarah got tough. And the thing was grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. That means he loved his son. He loved his son, even though the son was born of a bondwoman. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. So God makes the clear distinction. Listen, and he said, I'm going to take care of the child. I'm going to take care of the mother. But that is not the child of promise. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. So that's the purpose of election. And you, listen, it used to always be the firstborn was always the one that got the inheritance. But God always makes the purpose of election clear. He's the one that does the choosing. So Isaac would have been the second born, but It's Isaac shall your seed be called. Genesis 22, verse 1, we're going to read on down to 19 because it's very, it's important. It's real good scriptures here about this Abraham and his son Isaac. And it came to pass after these things that God did try or tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, look at that, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and keep thee and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee. He's telling him to go kill your son, your only son. But I'm going to send you to a mountain. Now you go to the mountain. Oh, he's setting it up. You go to the mountain that I will show you. Abraham rose up early in the morning. He didn't say anything about what he said. This is very unique about Abraham. It didn't say anything about what he said or questioned God. That he rose up early in the morning, he saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son. And he clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Listen, the place that God had told him. He obeyed God. He'll tell you some places that it'll sound very odd to you. And you wonder, why would he want you to go there? It makes more sense to be over here. You go where he tell you to go. Then on the third day, what day? On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide here. In other words, y'all stay here with the ass. And I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again. Listen at him. We'll be back. In his mind, he was going to kill Isaac. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac. Does that remind you of anything? The wood was placed on the back of the savior upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and I think this is so tender here, if you can hear the tenderness in it and the trust. My father, he says, my father. And he said, yes, my son, here am I, my son. And he says, take a look, behold the fire, the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering? He was inquisitive. Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. That was so tender to me. My son, can you see the tenderness in Abraham when he said, oh, my son, God himself will provide a lamb. And they came to the place which God had told him of. Abraham did not fall upon his knees and cry out to God. Abraham did not back up. Abraham did not hesitate. Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Abraham stretched forth his hand and took his knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. You say, well, I thought you said God knows everything. Well, he does. But for some reason, he tried, Abraham. He said, now I know. Well, you know, he had to know. See? Well, maybe it's a different kind of no, because you remember in the garden, he said, Adam, Adam, where are you? You mean tell me God didn't know where Adam was? Of course he knew. See? But know what? He wanted Adam to know where he was. Where are you, Adam? Adam said, well, yeah. Over in the bushes hiding from you. Mm-hmm. But God said, now I know. So, you know, folks are always looking for a contradiction in the word. I'm looking for a conviction in the word, if there's such a word, right? I want to see how the word matches, how the word works. I don't need to tear apart the word to see what part doesn't work. I know the word is truth. So maybe I ain't put it all together yet. But it does come together. It comes back down again and it meets in one place. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 13, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. What if Abraham did not obey God and went to a different mountain? What if he was a disobedient Abraham and went to the mountain right next to him? See, God said, go to a mountain. There's a reason that. Go to a mountain that I will show thee. Hey, y'all. A mountain where, that I will show thee and offer your son up. As far as Abraham was concerned, Isaac was dead. He tied him up, put him on the wood, had the fire ready. He had the knife up in the air. And he was about to plunge that knife into that child. And as he had his hand up, the angel stopped him. And as far as Abraham is concerned, his son was sacrificed in his mind. God said, you went far enough. You went far enough. I see you was going to carry this thing out. I see you were going to do this. But, yeah, so don't do it. Don't do it. You don't have to do it. Because now I see. That you trust me, that you believe me, that you will obey me, that you'll do what I tell you to do. Man, I tell you what, God will put you in situations where your Isaac will have to be offered up. Your Isaac will have to be tied up and placed on an altar. Your Isaac will have to be sacrificed. Who is your Isaac? What is your Isaac? What is it that stands between you and doing the will of God? We got to get rid of these Isaacs and these Lots, and these Hagars and Ishmaels and all these things that keep popping up. And we got them. And you know, he loved Ishmael. And he apparently had some love for Hagar because she had the son. And he must have loved Lot because that was his nephew. And no doubt he loved Isaac. And all of these particular things. And verse 15 says, and the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time. And he says, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, here it is, thine only son. Well, wait a minute. What about Ishmael? Ishmael doesn't count. Ishmael's descendants say, we're children of Abraham too. Yeah, but y'all don't count as the child of promise. And they proclaim it, and they try to prove it by bombing up hotels and setting car bombs and calling folks like us infidels and destroying churches and burning churches down and killing Christians, because they said, we're the children of Abraham. We're the chosen race. And so they're murderous people, some of them, not all of them. There are many that live in peace among us. But there's that sect that goes to prove their pedigree. And it is just nothing. It's just not right. Verse 17, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemy. The gate is the most powerful part of the defense of a city. To get through the gate, if you get through the gates, you can get into the city. You've taken the city. And the walls should be fortified such that you can't climb those walls. Well, he says, your seed is going to possess the gates of his enemy. My God. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. That's why everyone will be blessed, because Abraham obeyed the voice of God. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt in Beersheba. Now, I want you to consider the emotional state of Abraham, which we don't get to read about it, but if you just think about it, if Abraham was grieved when he had to kick Ishmael and Ishmael's mother out, who was the son of a bondwoman, not from his wife, but the son of a bondwoman. He was grieved. Have you been grieved before? You know what it is to be grieved? God, that's the most horrible condition to have to bear. He was so grieved about the son of the bondwoman. Now, even though there was no mention, imagine Abraham's emotional state when he was on his way to kill his son Isaac. Just imagine. Isaac. Abraham's faith was phenomenal, considering that his feat required the actual death of the son of his old age. God brought Abraham alive to bring this child into the world. Now God says, nah, he's got to die. Imagine his emotional state. Imagine his condition. My baby, that's the baby. You're asking me to go and kill my baby for you? It doesn't record Abraham's emotional state, but if he was grieved for Ishmael, my goodness, what was that walk like to Moriah, to that mountain with Isaac? They didn't record it, but you gotta know, man, he must have crying all the way. I cry over dogs when they die, you know. When I lose a pet, it tears me up, man. You have messed my whole week, and the rest of that week, I'm not right. Those are my pets, I see. But now, you ask me to take my baby, and sacrifice my baby to you. He had trouble just putting the son out. Just getting rid of the son. Not killing him, just getting rid of him. He was grieved. What in the world was this man doing? And we don't have it to read. But I'm just kind of doing a little math here, and just saying that I bet he must have cried all the way. And if you can imagine that conversation, and this is Leroy now, First Leroy 1:1. if you can imagine when Isaac said, "My father," and can you imagine Abraham going, "That's my son. I see the wood, and I see the fire, but where is the sacrifice?" If you can imagine. God will provide himself. Sacrifice my son. He had to hold it together. He had to be strong because he was going to do what God said to do. But man, I'm just kind of improvising here a little bit. But this hit me so hard as I studied this. It was so tender. Tender, yet he was going to do what God said. Abraham surmised that based on the word given to him by God, that he could kill Isaac and still have Isaac as a son. That's pretty much what it was. I can kill him, but God can raise him from the dead too. I'll still have him as a son. Scripture says that Abraham accounted. That means he calculated. If he had a calculator, that means he put all of the things together that God had said and done, that God brought him alive to bring this son. He said this son is going to bless the whole world. Abraham did some high math on this thing. He calculated that God was able to raise Isaac from the dead. After he finished his calculations, all this thing, he called me to go to a land. I'm going to have a son, the sun to everybody, the stars of the sea, the stars of the sky, the sand of the sea, all going to come out of this son. He did the math and kill Isaac equals raised from the dead. equals raised from the dead. That's faith. Equals raised from the dead. He said, God's going to raise him up. How else is he going to accomplish these things if he told me, "In Isaac shall your seed be called"? Didn't you tell me to kill Isaac? I know what's going to happen. You didn't say it, but I know what you're going to do. You're going to raise him from the dead. And he received him back from the dead in a figure. Because Abraham was dead before God brought him alive. And then Isaac was, you might as well say he was dead if there wasn't no angel there. But that knife was on the way down. He did everything purposely, and it was his plan to do everything God said until the raising of the knife. And I imagine he focused on the spot where you hit to kill sacrifice. It must be the heart. I imagine he had his eyes focused on that spot and was ready to come down
hit the right spot.
So he was definitely, he did not break character at all. Now, Romans chapter 9. We're going to look at a scripture in Romans, and then we will look at a scripture in Galatians if you want to kind of jump ahead and keep your finger there. Romans chapter 9. Just a few verses there. Verse 6. Not as though the word of God have taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are children of the flesh, they are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed. And so the scripture lets us know clearly, just because they are born of Abraham does not mean that they are children of God. Just because it came through Abraham, he had many children. Isaac wasn't the only one. And Ishmael wasn't the only one. We saw last week where he had five more sons to another marriage. And it didn't even mention daughters, but they always are daughters that they don't mention in scripture. And so he had quite a few, but in none of those, the Bible says that none of those received an inheritance. That God gave them a gift and sent them away. Away from Isaac is what he did. He gave them gifts and sent them away from Isaac so they wouldn't interfere with Isaac. So you know how siblings can be. I'm just as good as you. God loves me just like he loved you. So to cut that off, y'all go this way. Here's what you need. You can make it. Go. And he sent them away from Isaac. Now, Galatians chapter 3. Abraham's faith. Galatians chapter 3. Read that first verse for me. Foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you? Before whom? Clearly displayed as crucified. Verse 2 says, this only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. And so then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Christ hath, verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith, not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Christ Jesus is the seed that God was referring to when he said, through thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. We receive this by the hearing of faith. Again, the hearing of faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Through the hearing of faith. And listen, Abraham is the father of the faithful. The Bible says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. For righteousness. And so it says, they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. That make us the children of Abraham. See, there were some things that I was taught that they were incorrectly taught, but I was taught this too, and that was correct. We are children of Abraham. It splits off into some other doctrines, but it comes in and it brings something that's so terribly true. In thee, and see all the nations. And it also says that it's going to be through Abraham that the heathens would be blessed. The Gentiles, that's us. Because it was only through the Jews that God was really dealing with. Everybody else were just satanic. They were just worshiping all kinds of, they were heretical. They were doing all kinds of sacrificing children and just killing and just doing all types of things to God, to the gods, but not to the one true God. We are of faith. We are the children of Abraham. And we are that through Christ. And we receive this not through the law. That's why I don't talk against the law, but I talk against you trying to keep the law. I do talk against that. The law is good and holy, the Bible says, and true. But Jesus kept the law. He fulfilled it. And so he made it so easy for us up to a point. Our biggest battle is with us. It's with us. And it's dying to self. You never have a battle stronger than the one that Jesus had in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he was so stressed that he sweated great drops of blood. We haven't had that kind of stress yet, but he came through. He's our example. Listen, the Bible says Jesus offered himself through the Spirit. You know what Spirit that is? It's the same Spirit you got. He was 100% man. And you are 100% man and woman. And we have the Spirit living in us. The Spirit is called the promise. The Spirit is the promise. And it's the promise of the Spirit that the Scripture speaks of. But the more than just us having the Spirit, it's because we've received the Spirit that we are now children of God. And it's the receiving of Jesus Christ that when we hear faith, we receive the Spirit comes in and changes us to make us new creatures in Christ Jesus. And now we're children of the Most High God. We are. Do y'all believe that?
Amen.
We are. I know. I keep saying I know I'm a rascal sometimes. But I still belong to him. You know, a lot of folks will turn away from me, give me a hard time about the way I am, and maybe should be turned away. But I know that he will never turn away. He said, nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I thank you for your prayers. But when I make you mad, you don't pray for me. I know. But my point is this. I know Jesus will always pray for me. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, Lord, thank you for your wonderful word today, for this information that you're giving us. Lord, help us to learn to walk in truth and embrace truth and value truth, the only truth that you give. Thank you for the lesson of Abraham, and thank you that we are children of Abraham by faith, and as a result, we are children of God by faith. So let us leave this place, Lord, and as we prepare to continue our celebration of what's called the Christmas season, which is the Christ Mass, More Christ season. And bless us and keep us safe and keep our families safe, Lord. And just, we thank you so much for your word.
Remember Alexis and his family and health and blessing. Remember George, Lord, in his absence. And continue to work on this man and continue to bring him to a point where you and he are close and know each other. Nothing will come between you and him. Father, we thank you and we bless your name. And it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Y'all got a new car, y'all.
Oh,
I got a new car.